Tomorrow, August 6th, marks the 71st anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima, Japan. It was the world's first atomic bombing. 3 days later, Nagasaki got the second. The estimates vary. At the high end, it's possible a quarter of a million people died in the two bombings, to date the only use of nuclear weapons in war. But the possibility of further use of such weapons remains because the weapons still exist. Plenty of people have expressed their opposition to nuclear weapons, including the one you're about to meet. Greg Borchi-Obed is perhaps best known for being arrested with Sister Megan Rice and one other person after breaking into a federal nuclear facility at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, for which he served time. Greg Borchi-Obed is in the Rogue Valley to join the Peace House Vigil for the Hiroshima and Nagasaki anniversaries coming up over the course of the next few days. Greg Borchi-Obed, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you for the invitation.
So for the folks who aren't that familiar with the story, why are you not in prison now?
Well, it's a series of factors, one of which is because Megan was part of the group, and she knows many people, has many connections, and she had a connection with the lawyer team in New York City who agreed to take up the appeal. Our trial lawyers were somewhat discouraged by the rulings in court, and my public defender thought that nobody wanted to do the appeal, but Megan knew this family friend lawyer, and they agreed to do the appeal pro bono. And they did a lot of research. They studied the laws of sabotage, what Congress discussed at the time the law was made in 1918, and they successfully argued, and the appeals court, 2-1 decision, ruled that no rational jury would have found that we had the intent to damage national security.
So the original charge would have given you how much time in prison?
Well, Michael and I were sentenced to over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Megan, almost 3 years.
And for folks who may think the story sounds familiar, we did talk about this very situation a month ago with Dan Zack, the author of the book Almighty. And I notice, Greg, you're packing a copy of that today. That was back on July 11th. We talked about the entire process, not just of what happened to you when you broke into the facility in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, but also the making of that facility and the numbers of people who were told things like they were making ice cream.
Yes, it's quite surprising. And he did a lot of research in writing that very well written book.
I should point out we are trying to get Sister Megan Rice on the phone. She was supposed to be part of this interview as well, but at this point we have not been able to make a connection. So were you surprised that you even lived through the break-in, given the level of security at this facility and from what Dan Zack writes in the book, the fact that there are warnings that, like, beyond this point, we get to use lethal force on you?
Well, we are familiar that there's a series of plowshares movements, which we felt we were one of the series, and nobody so far has been injured, you know, by the security forces that we meet. And in particular, numbers of people have gone into lethal force zones before. And we believe if we're operating with proper motive, if we're following the spirit, if we are nonviolent, if we are loving in our attitude, then we usually achieve the target. And my wife in particular didn't feel that there was we were going to be shot or killed in advance. She felt that.
So she didn't think you were taking your life in your hands necessarily?
No. Mm-hmm. Although that is what the nuclear facility wants you to believe, mm-hmm. because they do say that.
For the folks who are not that familiar with plowshares, and it refers back to the biblical reference to beat the swords into plowshares and let's end war and get on with life. I gather from what I'm reading from Dan Zack and a lot of other sources too that it's not so much an organization as just an idea, a movement.
Yes, and that's true. The actions have arisen with people who have learned about previous actions or have done some form of civil resistance, and then they meet people and they study together. And the idea has spread to other countries in which, in Europe particularly, there have been a number of plowshares actions which the jury has found them not guilty, and one judge even in Scotland directed a verdict of not guilty. So in other countries, you're able to speak more during the trial. Our trial, like in most federal ones in the U.S., it was very shut down.
Let's come back to square one with you in particular, Greg. I mean, you're a veteran yourself. You served in which branch of the service?
I was in the Army.
Mm-hmm. But not in any active fighting?
No, but it was at a time in which we were training to fight and win, supposedly, a nuclear war. And that had a very deep impact on me and the changes and the conversion as I was in the Army.
Conversion to what? I mean, well, obviously from what? I mean, you volunteered to go into the Army, is that right?
Yes. When I was growing up, my family was very supportive of the military. They voted Republican, and they encouraged me to apply for a ROTC scholarship as a high school student, and I did that. But as time went on and I met different people, including Herb Rothschild, had a big impact on opening my eyes to the evils of nuclear weapons.
And at some point you decided you had to not just talk about the evils of nuclear weapons, but do something physically to confront them?
Yes, like one of the things Herb said to the people in Baton Rouge.
Herb is one of the people from Peace House in Ashland, I should point out.
Yes, he started a Peace House in Baton Rouge, which had a major effect on me, to opening my eyes. He, you know, suggested subscribing to national peace publications. And before that, I had never known that anyone thought that, you know, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be killing people in the military. You know, it's a very basic thing for Quakers, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Bruderhof. Many denominations say that, but I had never encountered them. And so reading peace literature, reading about the Plowshares actions that started in 1980 led me to search, you know, inner voices and go in that direction.
We're talking to Greg Borchi Obed, who was one of the three people arrested at the Y-12 federal nuclear facility in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. One of the events listed in the book Almighty by Dan Zak. We talked to Dan a month ago. Greg himself is here in the Rogue Valley because he'll be taking part with Peace House in the vigils to observe the anniversaries of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's August 6th and 9th. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your questions, your observations about nuclear weapons and what has become of them in the world are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Before you began to take part in Plowshares actions, were you generally a pretty law-abiding guy? I mean, the kind of guy who obeyed authority pretty well?
Well, yes, and we do feel Plowshares are law-abiding also, and we have studied the issue with international law professors, including Francis Boyle and the former Attorney General Ramsey Clark. And the very first action tried to bring up in court that we do believe it's law-abiding to try to stop a war crime. The Nuremberg Principles, which the U.S. started and, you know, founded after World War II, say if you're preparing to start a war of aggression or if you're preparing to do a war crime, it's the same penalty, it's the same wrongness as doing a war crime. And we believe that building nuclear weapons, which are designed to kill civilians, is a war crime.
Is your attention focused entirely on nuclear weapons or more broadly on war?
For this particular action, we did have a broader focus, which doesn't come out in the book so much, but, you know, we did bring symbols that said, you know, stop killing people with drones. And in preparing for the action, we met with different people, and some young people made the point, if we get rid of nuclear weapons, but we don't change our overall military, we have enough high technology weapons to continue to dominate the world. So we really need to educate people that we need to change the whole focus of trying to be an empire if there's going to be any significant change.
What did you bring with you, the three of you, when you broke into Y-12, the facility at Oak Ridge that day?
Well, we brought different symbols, one of which was normally in a Plowshares action, people bring hammers and human blood. And the blood symbolizes that the work at that facility is causing massive death, causing massive bloodshed. And in the Bible, blood is a very important symbol. In the book of Genesis, even, it starts out saying, the voice of your brother's blood cries out from the ground. And so we bring symbols and we try to point to what needs to change. The hammers were meant to symbolically disarm the building. We didn't try to get inside, and it did start to crumble after a few blows. But then other symbols like crime scene tape. Megan in particular wanted to put up crime scene tape identifying the factory as the crime.
Again, Greg Borchi-Obed, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, one of the three people who broke into the Y-12 federal nuclear facility in Oak Ridge, Tennessee 4 years ago and served some federal prison time for it. Sister Megan Rice was with him as well. And I'm sorry, I always forget the name of the third person.
Michael Wally.
Michael Wally, okay. So Greg is with us now because he's in the Rogue Valley for observances of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki anniversaries coming up tomorrow and on Tuesday. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about war and weapons and the uses thereof. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. By the time you had taken this action, which was in 2012, there'd already been a number of agreements to reduce nuclear stockpiles, reduce the number of warheads extant in the world. Do you take any heart in that trend? Is it happening in any way similar to what you might have hoped would happen?
Well, we had studied the issue, and other friends had informed us, especially in Tennessee, that although Obama had gotten Congress to sign the new START treaty, which reduced levels of weapons in the U.S. and in Russia, in order to get that deal passed, supposedly in Congress, Obama had to agree with the Republicans to invest massive amounts of money in modernizing our nuclear weapons infrastructure. So Obama agreed we would build entirely new weapons factories, which would keep making weapons till 2080, which is completely contrary to the spirit of his speech in Czechoslovakia of, we want a world without weapons. We want to reduce and we want to go to zero, which many people are now saying, even former nuclear weapons commanders, military generals have said, you know, we need to stop and we need to reduce and go to zero.
Do you take any heart or comfort from the American deal to delay Iran getting a nuclear weapon?
Oh, yes. We feel that was a very successful example of diplomacy, and a lot of effort went into that. And, that was an example of how diplomacy can be used to reduce nuclear weapons in general.
The use of Christian ideas, the use of Bible verses, all that milieu there, has it produce some interesting moments between you, for example, and people who also consider themselves committed Christians but who are very pro-war and perhaps pro-nuclear weapons at that?
At times, I've met federal marshals who have said, they believe in Christ, they believe in Jesus, but they don't understand what we're doing. But, generally, like most prisoners who identify as Christians, They do get the point, and they are supportive, especially like if they read the New Yorker article that Eric Schlosser wrote. It was being passed around in the prison I was in, and guys came up to me and said, we didn't really support what you did before, what we thought you had done, but after reading the article, they support us completely.
What was it about what you'd done that they read in that article that made them change their minds?
Well, they didn't go into it, but Eric did lay out the basic tenets of our mission and our message. And he titled his book Gods of Metal, which is the religious aspect of what we are trying to say, that nuclear weapons have become the modern idols of our world, that people put their trust in these massive death machines. And they say we can't live without them. They say they protect us, which is in reality a statement of blasphemy.
Now, those of us sitting at the table here, and I should admit, Herb Rothschild is in the room, can all remember days when there were duck and cover drills. We had air raid drills in elementary school, cover your neck from the flying glass just in case there were bombings, that sort of thing. We were really afraid the Soviet Union was going to nuke us into oblivion and that we would return the favor. All through the 60s, well into the 70s, and it probably began to decline a bit by the 80s. As that has fallen away, there's been the rise of the concerns about terrorism, certainly, especially in our country and other Western countries. As you look at the situation, are you more concerned still with nuclear weapons than about terrorism?
Well, the case is made by Eric Schlosser, and in the film that is going to be shown, The Nuclear Tipping Point, in this series of public events here in the Rogue Valley, that ISIS and Al-Qaeda may well want to try to get the material to make a nuclear weapon. And that is pushing many people to say we need to disarm. We need to control the amounts of highly enriched uranium. We need to get rid of them. We need to go to zero because as long as these materials are around, they are subject to being taken by hostile forces.
Is the approach of the Plowshares movement generally to say, let's stop doing this? I mean, do you have it as well delineated as people hold over, hand over a plan and say, here's where you should put the stuff to? I mean, when you talk about controlling nuclear material, for example, I mean, do you have ideas about who should control it and how?
Well, there have been ideas at the UN. There should be an overarching organization that would be in charge of all nuclear materials and safeguarding them so that it wouldn't be a nation state. But we, in general, we feel that we point to what we think is the direction, and then other people will take care of the details of moving with practical programs.
Greg Borchi Obed, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, arrested at the Y-12 nuclear facility in Tennessee 4 years ago with Megan Rice. And I'm sorry again.
Michael Wally.
Okay, there we go. And he's here in the Rogue Valley because he's taking part in the Peace House observance of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombing anniversaries, August 6th and August 9th. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. A couple minutes left here. 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, obviously, these anniversaries have existed through our lives. How have you observed the dates in the past, Greg?
Many times when I was living on the East Coast, we would go to the Pentagon and the White House and engage in symbolic actions, sometimes risking arrest. But we also have, as has happened here, we've invited victims of the bombings of Japan to come and share their stories. And so like on the East Coast, the Hibakusha would come and make their plea, and you know, with us, we would agree that it should never be used again. And we do feel with the depleted uranium munitions that we now have that they are a form of nuclear weapons because they kill with radiation and they're very dangerous. And many civilians and our own soldiers suffer and die from them. And so we resist and try to educate people about those forms of weapons.
And it looks like some of what you'll be doing over the course of the next 4 days will involve a certain amount of instruction in civil disobedience as you do it. I mean, is there a Greg Borchi Obed list of do's and don'ts that you provide to people if they're considering following in your footsteps?
Well, for myself, I was influenced in that realm with Daniel Berrigan. I attended some classes of his, and he would point to Gandhi and Martin Luther King if you want to learn nonviolent resistance and how people have practiced it before, and they're very voluminous writings.
We have a call here, and I know he's been on already this week, but I want to hear from Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Greg Borchi Obed.
My father put together the material for the bomb that took out Nagasaki. He was an associate director of Lawrence Radiation Laboratory. He was the scientific liaison between the military and the scientific communities for the bomb that took out Bikini Atoll. He quit the Lawrence Radiation Laboratory because he didn't believe that we should build more nuclear weapons.
All right. Thanks for sharing that story, Grumpy John. Appreciate that. Greg, I'm going to guess you've met a few people in your travels who have had similar stories.
Oh, yes. Many, and here, you know, on the West Coast, one prominent person is Bob Aldridge, who was a designer of nuclear Trident missiles. And then he realized, putting things together, that it would be a first strike weapon to take out the other nuclear weapons without any attack on us. And that led him to a crisis of conscience and leading to become a peace activist.
Have you been, had any, does your prison release come with any conditions? Are you not supposed to take part in activities anymore? Or anything?
That is true. We are on 2 years of unsupervised release with the one condition that we not break any laws. So if we engage in a small demonstration, like I'm part of the Midwest Catholic Workers, we have participated in Black Lives Matter protests, and if we engage in some small activity like that, we could be brought back before the federal judge.
Have you? I mean, have you kept the kept on the straight and narrow? Then have you kept the conditions?
Oh, so far, but I have been feeling a leading lately to partake again in nonviolent resistance.
All right. I guess since you're stopping there, we'll leave it at that. But interesting set of circumstances that have led you to what you've done with your life. Greg Borchi-Obed was arrested with Michael Wally and Sister Megan Rice at Y-12, the nuclear facility in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, 4 years ago, and served prison time for it. He's in the Rogue Valley for observances of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki anniversaries this weekend, brought in by Peace House. You can find the details at peacehouse.net.